Well, how many times have you used a little mass consciousness to try to get your family together, to pray for the common good, for something? Please, let this happen. Up next, Jim Paris joins us. His work, How to Pray for a Financial Miracle. He's next on Coast to Coast AM. Jim Paris, of course, is the editor of ChristianMoney.com. He's the author of more than 30 books, including, of course, How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, certified financial planner, registered investment advisor. He owned a couple nationwide financial firms, then a mortgage firm, a real estate brokerage. During his financial career, he managed millions of dollars of clients in 46 states. You might remember Jim playing, of course, the trumpet on our holiday CD. That was amazing, Jim.
Hey, thank you, George. It's good to be back with you, and so excited to just be with you here in the new year. I wanted to tell you, I was very relieved to hear on Friday night that you are not the Antichrist.
I was relieved to hear that, too. You know,
that was very funny. I laughed out loud when you said that.
I show up in the Torah. Can you believe it? And they're doing more work on it.
I'm fascinated by that, the coverage you're doing on that, and we're trying to book him for our show as well because I want to find out how all that works.
Yeah, me too. It is truly amazing. Anyways, what have you been up to since we last met on our Beyond Belief set in Denver?
Well, it's been a big week for me. My wife and a bunch of my friends planned a surprise birthday party for my 50th birthday. And I was so surprised. I was in tears and smiling all at the same time. It was last week, and so 50 years are gone, and I'm getting ready for my second half now.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, let's do a little refresher for people. Jim, you've been on the program with me before. Give them a little more background about you and what happened to you, because it's a weird story.
Right. So I got a very quick start as a young person. 22 years old, I became a stockbroker, moved up very, very quickly in the company that I was with. I ended up having 75 stockbrokers working for me. I was traveling to Europe. I was really, really doing well financially. A few years later, I started my own financial firms. And so there I was approaching my 30th birthday, a multimillionaire. And no one could believe it. Humble upbringing from Chicago, south side of Chicago, blue-collar family. And there I was. But by the time I was 40, I was bankrupt. And the backstory is that my accountant, my internal bookkeeper, my brother, embezzled over $2 million from me.
Oh.
That represented all of my operating capital. And I was wiped out overnight. And it totally changed my life. I planned my suicide out three times. Was sitting at the beach one night with a loaded gun in my hand, in my car, ready to kill myself. Not only because of the loss of all of my money, my businesses, my home was in foreclosure, my vehicles were being repossessed, but the fact that it was my own brother, the betrayal was really more than I could handle.
Oh, my gosh. What got you from pulling that trigger?
Well, when I reached that point, and that was the one time I actually did actually drove my car to the beach, sat in a parking spot with a loaded gun. The other two times I made plans, but I didn't actually take them to that point. And when I got to that point and I was at that moment, I realized that, you know, it probably can't get any worse than this. I mean, here I am with a loaded gun sitting in my car. So I decided, well, let's just see what happens. And my life began to turn around because I turned to God, and I've been a spiritual person my whole life, but not like I am today and not like I was after I reached rock bottom. And I started praying, and I started praying in a totally different way than I'd ever prayed before. I would go out and sit for 2 to 3 hours, and I would pray, and I would bring a blank notepad with me. And I found that if I would just shut up and just listen, that God would reveal to me ideas and information, and that information is what I've used to completely reinvent myself, and I have just an amazing life today, better than ever, and so many wonderful things have happened that I've outlined in the book, but it was a real turning point for me. It's unfortunate that many of us have to hit rock bottom before
right.
we will turn to God, and that's what happened with me.
And when you say turn to God, how do we know, Jim, that God is an us. So when you turned within, you were really dealing with yourself, maybe this inner portion of you that gave you these ideas and suggestions.
Right. A lot of people have asked me that. And I will tell you this, that today we don't spend any time thinking. How many times do people start screaming, they have a problem, they call technical support, they're calling for another family member to help them with whatever the problem is, but to just sit there and sort of process the information and try to reason and think through a problem, we don't do it anymore. So I think there's certainly something to be said about sitting quietly and just using your own resources, your own mental resources to try to come up with ideas and to try to find a new direction in your life. But I have to tell you, in my case, that the information I was getting was way beyond the information I could have come up with on my own, including, for example, writing this book and sharing this information. Who would have ever thought that my greatest act as a financial guy would be going broke? The book that sold the most, the book that got me on the most media appearances, and all of that would be about going broke. These are clearly communications from God, information that I was not going to come up with on my own. And there's so many things like this that I could tell you where it was just simply not Jim Paris. It was something much greater than myself that was providing me with this information. And I really believe that God is there for us, and most of us don't stop to listen. We're all about maybe crying out for help, but to stop and listen, that takes time. And you've got to turn off your iPhone and your beeper, and you've got to get to a quiet place and give God that opportunity to speak to you, and he will. And what will happen is truly a miracle.
Does everyone get results?
Well, here's what we have to do. In the book, I talk about, I sort of set the stage for what many people expect from this book.
And this book, too, it's about you.
Right, right. The book is not about getting a big bag of money or winning the lottery. It's about being able to develop a life where your needs are met, where you're happy, where you're able to have choices to do things that you want to do. You know, in my case, I don't have near the money today that I did back in the day. However, my lifestyle is so much better. I train in the martial arts several days a week. I'm involved with a big band. I train in yoga. I drove around today with the top down on my Jeep along the beach, and it was the first day of February. I mean, these are just great things that don't take a lot of money, and many times it's simply redesigning your life. So the book is about kind of stepping back and looking at what you have, being grateful for what you have, and trying to determine with God's help what direction you should be going in.
Jim, tell us, as we get into some of these miracle stories, and of course when we take calls next hour, we'll get a lot of those. Tell us what happened with you and your son. You were at a jazz festival. It's kind of a neat story.
Yeah, this was an amazing story. This was back when I was broke. I had no money, and there was a jazz festival here in town. And we went to the jazz festival. We were very excited to see Eddie Henderson, a professional trumpet player that we really admired. We found out, though, that it was one of the few events at the jazz festival that was not free. And in order to get in, I believe the tickets were like $60 each. So I told my son after we learned this, I said, we can't go to that concert. And we were at one of the venues where there was actually a small hotel. And as we walked past the lobby of the hotel, we were leaving. My son was disappointed, but he was a real trooper. We're heading to the car, and I looked up, and I looked through the window of the hotel lobby, and there was a guy with a trumpet case, and I thought, boy, that looks like Eddie Henderson. So I walked in, and he looked at me, and he said, "Are you a trumpet player?" And I said, "Yes. How did you know?" And he said, "I can tell from the scar on your lip."
Yep. What do they call that?
It's just something we all have. It's just a little scar on the upper lip, and if you're a trumpet player, you recognize it from across the room. And he said, "Are you coming to my show?" And I said to him as I put my head down, "What do you say? I mean, here's Eddie Henderson standing there in front of you." I said, "I would love to. I don't have the money to go. I would love to see your show." And he said, "You're coming as my guest." And just as he said that, a limousine pulled up, and he waved my son and I to get into the limousine with him and the saxophone player he was performing with that afternoon. And we rode with him to the venue. And as we walked up to the gate where the ticket takers were, the ticket takers looked at us and said, "Where are your tickets?" And Eddie Henderson said to them, "These are my guests." And I just, my eyes started welling up with tears. And he waved us through the gate, took us into the theater, and he said, "You pick any seats that you want." Then when the show was over,
amazing,
he came out and found us so we could ride back in the limousine with him to where our car was parked about 3 miles away. And the last time I was on your program, about a year ago, I shared this story, and Eddie sent me a very, very sweet letter telling me that he remembered that, and he was just so excited to be a part of my miracle story. And so here we are today, and he just loved that I shared the story. And maybe to a guy like that, he does it every day, so maybe he doesn't necessarily remember it, but he did remember us, and he did remember doing that for us, and we'll be eternally grateful.
No, and you'll never forget that story. Never.
Yes, sir, never.
Of course, you can't now. It's in print.
Right.
Now, you also had miracles of other people. They were helping you pay rent and give you cars. I mean, how did this all happen? Prayer?
We prayed. My wife and I would pray. We didn't know really even what to ask for in prayer. And
you were down and out, weren't you?
Right. I mean, we were literally down to the point of becoming homeless. I mean, we had lost our home. We had lost our cars. We had lost everything. And I was a guy, I didn't have a lot of money in my own personal savings and investments because I assumed this company is mine and everything, you know, the company has is mine. So why keep a lot of personal money?
Right. Aside? So and that it would keep coming, right?
Right, exactly. So when I was wiped out from the business, I didn't really have anything separate from the business to really go to fall back on. And we had people that came forward that gave us a car to use for a year. We had someone that stepped forward and paid our rent for a year. And on and on and on, people that brought groceries to us. It was just unbelievable.
Amazing.
The people that came forward to help us. And I talk in the book about not being ashamed to let people know that you have a need, because there's a blessing for that person too, and being able to help someone. And that was a tough thing for me because I was very prideful. The idea of someone bringing groceries to me or paying my rent. I mean, here I was, you know, multimillionaire, and somebody's paying my rent. But I realized that that was God working through that person, and there was a blessing for that person also to be able to have the opportunity to help me and my family out. And we are very, very grateful for all those people that stepped up. But we believe it was God working through those people.
But I've got to tell you too, Jim, that giving is a incredible feeling for people. When you help somebody,
it really is. And I've heard on your show, you're a very generous man, and I've heard people call in and share with you their plights, and you have stepped forward and helped so many people. And we try to give back as much as we can. In the last 2 years, I believe we've given away, with Amazon promotions through the Kindle program they have, we've given away, I believe, about 10,000 free Kindle versions of the book. And you just can't give enough. The more you give, the more it comes back.
It does.
You. And there's such a blessing
it
in
does.
Giving.
When you don't expect it back, that's when it comes back.
Yes, it does.
You know, when you absolutely. If you give with the idea, oh, I'm going to get all this back because I was a nice guy, it's not going to happen. But when you just do it from the heart, it comes rolling back. It really does. There's
right.
a story.
The blessing is right there, just in being able to help someone. And we get the emails, we get the stories back from people that have read the book. They've prayed, and it's made a huge impact on their life. I tell people, look, if you're standing in line to buy lottery tickets and you're at that point, it's like, well, I've got $20 left. I guess I'll buy lottery tickets. Maybe try praying. I mean, praying is something that we don't do, and I think that it's certainly got a lot more to offer than buying a lottery ticket.
Tell me about this letter you mailed to a television network. What was that all about?
Right. So I wrote a letter to a television network in Texas, proposing that I would appear as a guest on this network. Now, it had been many years since I had been on their television station or their network, well before I had lost everything. And that one letter, this was just unbelievable. I get the phone call. They want me to come on. And they had a telethon set up for, I think, 2 or 3 weeks of guests they had on. I came on, and I didn't know what to expect. I sat down on their set, and in 2 hours, we raised over $1 million for their
Wow.
network. And I was paid over $125,000 for sitting down there for 2 hours and just sharing a little bit of information about what I was doing with my life, reinventing myself, which was doing internet marketing and internet business, and shared some information on that. And the guy that ran the whole place, who was like their accountant or fundraising expert, after I was off the set, he said, "Do you realize what you just did?" And I said, "No." He said, "This is unprecedented, what just happened, the amount of money that just came in that 2 hour period." And it was unbelievable what happened. And it was truly a miracle. Some people say, "Oh, it was just lucky you happened to be there at the right time and had the right information." I don't know, but $125,000 was what I received from that 2 hour appearance.
Were you in shock?
I was in shock. I thought, well, I'm not going to get too excited till I actually see the money. Then the first wire came, it was over $80,000. And then I knew it was real.
It was on, you were on your way. A lot of people,
yes,
and what would you recommend to people, Jim? A lot of people, because of what has happened in 2007 and 2008, still haven't recovered yet. They're still fighting. What do you recommend? When you say how to pray for a financial miracle, exactly what do you mean by that?
Well, what I do is, in the book, I lay out my method of prayer that really worked for me, which is to set aside a significant chunk of time, at least 2 hours, and then bring a blank notepad to that prayer session. And I go through several steps. I'm really a big believer in gratitude. In fact, my next book that will come out is about gratitude. And I believe thanking God for all the things you already have is a great step in the prayer process. But I go through all this, and then to just sit quietly and wait for God to reveal to you what you should be doing. And I give a lot of examples, but for example, I taught myself how to build websites. So I run all of my own websites, build all of my own websites. I started a company that teaches people how to build websites. I have my daughter principally running that and teaching that. So there are so many things you can do today. I have a friend who, he never went off to college, so he decided to go to college. He went for 18 months, became a respiratory therapist. Makes over $125,000 a year as a respiratory therapist. He said, "Jim, I walk around the hospital with a white jacket on. People think I'm one of the doctors. I'm not. I make as much as many of them, and I only went to college for 18 months." There's so many things you can do today with computers and technology and what's happening in the medical field where somebody can actually go get just a few months of education, or even just learn yourself using the internet some of these skills, and you can really develop multiple streams of income this way.
And when you talk about how to pray for a financial miracle, it's not all about money, 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 money. It's about survival, isn't it?
For most people, what it comes down to is all they really want is a place to live, and they want their basic needs to be met.
Right.
And they want peace. I think that's what most people want. And so some of the things that I think that I reveal in the book that people need to think about, for example, where you live. I can't tell you how many people I know living in big cities where their property taxes are $15,000, $20,000 a year.
Yeah.
That means even if they own their house
standard
without a mortgage, they've got to pay thousands of dollars a year just to keep their home. My property taxes are $1,600 a year here in Florida. So much of this, George, I think has to do with choices that we make and the circumstances that we put ourselves in. I think living in a more affordable area is a big step for people. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
you have to switch occupations. Maybe you're a salesperson and you're selling real estate. Maybe real estate's not doing so well. Maybe you need to start selling medical equipment, or maybe you need to go back to school and learn a different trade. There's so many different adjustments you can make like this. To literally not just extricate yourself from your challenges, but really put yourself in just a wonderful new life.
You're right. Jim, we're going to come back and talk more about this. How to pray for a financial miracle next. Yes, I had the great opportunity of having Jim Paris on our television program, Beyond Belief. He did a wonderful job. If you want to watch that for free, and you have a certain amount of time to do that, simply go to this website, beyondbelief.com, and take a peek. And you'll go through the shows, but look for the one with Jim Paris. You can look at as many as you want, but that one's the neat one. Jim Paris Show on www.beyondbelief.com. Welcome back. Back with Jim Paris as we're talking about how to pray for a financial miracle. During tough times like the 2007-08 recession, Jim, will prayer even help during those kind of situations?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Those are especially the times to be praying. Those are the times when you really need wisdom. And one of the steps in my prayer method is to ask God for wisdom, because God promises He will give us wisdom if we ask for it. And that's not just a solution for today's problem, but it's an ability going forward to be able to make better decisions, smarter decisions. And so, yes, those are tough times, but I think there's no more appropriate time to invite God into your circumstances when there are tough times, as those very much were, for sure.
Symptomatic of some of the things that have been going on, men seem to be killing themselves, and then right before they do that, they take their families out first. Why are they doing this? Is it financial? Something's going on.
There are psychological issues behind many of these murder-suicide stories, but if you read beyond that, most of them have some common thread of a financial problem. And it's a very bizarre way of solving that problem, but these are men, and what they're thinking of, as twisted as this might sound, they're thinking, I'm going to now kill myself, and what's going to happen to my family? So rather than envisioning their family going on without them and possibly going without, they believe that the answer is to also kill their family. And this is very, very tragic.
Gosh.
And we're seeing more and more of these stories. If you just Google the phrase, father kills children, or husband kills wife and children, and self-suicide, you will see just countless pages that come up in Google where this is the storyline, and it's just truly tragic. I don't know that we've ever seen anything like this before, where men are killing their families and then killing themselves in such numbers.
It's almost as if they don't want the family to have to go through the grief that they went through financially, so in their own sick little way, they take them out too.
Right. There was a case just a few weeks ago here, not very far from where I live, where a grandfather killed his adult daughter and all of his grandchildren. They were all living in the same home, and he killed himself and killed all of them, and it was just a tragedy. And the kids that went to school with those kids, and in the news, it was just this story that nobody could make any sense of. And so many of these stories, like I said, they do involve individuals with psychological problems, but typically there's a financial issue as well.
What are the symptoms of somebody who's about to do something like that? I mean, nowadays people see some of it on Facebook, where people make strange kinds of, writings, and, it's just weird. But, I mean, when you're with somebody, can you tell?
Sometimes you can, and sometimes you cannot tell. And interestingly enough, there's kind of a myth that the holidays are the top time of the year for people to commit suicide. It's actually going into the spring that we see more suicide. So we're just about to go into that season. Some people will offer a cry for help and make it clear that they have an issue that is so serious they're considering suicide. Others will be much more private about it. You really don't know. We have just gotten so many emails over the last couple of years since this book has been out from people in those kinds of situations saying, look, I'm at the end. I mean, I'm at that point. And my good friend Dave Ramsey, referred some of those people to his organization. They have more of a set up to deal with that type of thing. But we've sent people free books. We've counseled with them by email. We've done what we can to offer them hope, George, because what ends up happening is when someone decides to commit suicide and they actually reach that point, they're a person that's lost all hope. They don't believe that there's any chance that anything can get any better.
Right.
And so that's what I try to do when I step right in and say, well, wait a minute. So you lose your house. You'll get another house. You can rent a house until you're able to buy one again. You lose your job. You can get retrained to do something differently. Giving them some hope, letting them know that there are options, that there are all kinds of different things that they can do and their life is not over. That is the answer for most of these people.
That's, you know, hope is so critical, I think, for any of this. You know, I had an associate back in St. Louis. Everybody liked the guy. His father had started a bank, left him a lot of money. I mean, a lot. We're talking millions. And he went off on his own and developed himself. And he became an expert in a communications, public relations expert, responsible for getting the stadium built that the St. Louis Rams are playing in. And, of course, they may move in a year or so. But he went back to his office one day. He was married, had a kid, and he blew his brains out. And nobody knew why. He may have been bipolar. He had some episodes like that. But nobody really saw that coming, people who knew him. It was unbelievable.
Many times it is a mystery like that.
Yeah.
And other times people are crying out for help. And we try to be here for them. We've gotten so many questions over the years. What do you do when you don't have the money to pay your bills, when you're in that situation where the creditors are calling, they're threatening to sue you, they're foreclosing you out of your house, these kinds of things? And these are the circumstances that people really need answers for, and they need to understand that, hey, look, successful people, famous people like Wayne Newton's been bankrupt and he kept going, and Barry Manilow's been bankrupt, lost all of his money, and he kept going. It's not the end of your life when you lose all the stuff. As long as you have your health and your family, you can start over again, and you can even use it as an opportunity, like I did, to actually reinvent yourself and have a better life than you even had before.
Well, that's absolutely true. How did you come up with these various steps? You have an 11-step process. I'm not going to go through every step. People can get that when they read it. But how did you come up with those 11 steps?
I really believe that through my own prayer time, as well as God revealing these things to me, maybe you could call it trial and error, but I found that over time, as I prayed and I was in this situation more and more, where I would take these two-hour time blocks and go sit at the beach or go sit at a park with my big empty pad of paper looking for God to tell me what I'm supposed to do, I found myself going through these different steps. And I had so many people ask me, well, how do you do it? You know, how do you pray? And I wanted to be careful to communicate that I don't believe I have some secret prayer system. And if you know, don't pray using the words I use or the steps I use, you're not going to have the same results. But so many people ask me, George, to share how I prayed that I felt, okay, I'll do that. Of course, realizing that there's probably a lot of different ways that people can pray and still get fantastic results from it. The key, I think, is taking the time to listen and let God share with you what you're supposed to be doing and to give you those ideas, those answers to your financial problems.
All right. Look at this email I just got in from Jorge out of Austin, Texas. It says, George, like your guest, I'm at rock bottom because I can't find work above minimum wage and I'm 2 weeks from homelessness. I have worked two jobs most of my life and I can't be homeless. This is why I'm planning my suicide. I'm 55. I live in an expensive Austin, Texas area as a security guard. I live simply, but the IRS is after me too. I've got a bad back. I've been praying, believe me, but I have no family who can help. Please don't call the cops on me. Well, I can't. They have been here before. They can't help me unless they bring me a big check. I will keep listening to your guests, but I already have been praying. Nothing is happening. Thanks. Jorge. Austin, Texas. What do I do with this? I've got his name.
Wow. Well, I would like to have you, if you would, forward that to me. I would like to correspond with him by email. I don't know all of the details of his situation, but obviously it sounds very, very hopeless to him right now. All he sees is darkness. He doesn't see any answers. But many times people in these kinds of situations, I'm not suggesting he hasn't considered all the options, because he probably thinks that he has. But sometimes a simple thing like relocating, there are places in the country right now, George, where there's actually 0% unemployment. Places, for example, like in the Dakotas, where they're doing all the fracking and the oil business is exploding up there. There are places you can go to find work. There are opportunities through even public training programs where you can get trained to do a whole new line of work. There are churches and assistance programs that the government has in place that will help you to be able to not only get food, get housing, help you to get trained to do a new job. There are opportunities for you to turn your situation around. And one of the things I would say to Jorge is you know what? You're at the bottom here, and now here's what's exciting. You can let go of all of this and turn it over to God and pray and look for a whole new life to start in front of you. Instead of being depressed, your life is over. Okay, maybe on one level you can accept that this life you're living now is over, but a new life is about to begin. And that's how I would look at it. I would look at this, give God that blank sheet of paper, and ask him, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing? Do I need to move? Do I need to change occupations? Where can I go for help? Churches, public assistance. There are so many things that people can do. We just put together a DVD on this exact kind of thing, because there are so many people, they don't know where to go for help, and there are so many different agencies and organizations that will step up and help you with training, for food, for shelter, all of these kinds of things to give you that helping hand to make it through a situation like this.
Okay, we're going to give you his email address during the break, Jim, and you can deal it as you will. I think you can help
Absolutely.
Him much better than we can.
Yes, sir.
Hold on, Jorge, hold on. Things always get brighter. I sure do. Now, you talk about the importance of a survival budget. What does that mean?
In the DVD, and by the way, I had so many people contacting me over the last couple of years since this book is out, asking for help in this particular genre, which is, what do I do when I can't pay my bills? Whether I lost my job or whatever the situation, all of a sudden, I can no longer pay my bills. Most people have never been in that situation. They don't know what to do, and they panic. So one of the things I cover in the DVD is a survival budget. This is the most basic budget. Food is in that budget. The minimum you need for housing, and that might mean that you have to move from where you're at now to something even less expensive. But to kind of create this minimum budget so that you can just live until you can get to that next point. And this is a tough thing for people to do, because it means dropping cable. It might mean dropping the internet. It might mean getting rid of the cell phones. These are things that might be in your normal everyday life when your finances are normal, but your finances are not normal. So you've got to go down to the bare bones minimum survival budget to be able to put yourself in a position to make it as long as you can. I use the analogy of, you know, you've got that proverbial canteen of water, and there are three of you stranded in the desert, and you don't know how many days you're going to be there. So you've got to be very careful how much of that water that you're consuming per hour or per day. And that's the idea behind the survival budget. Just only that which you need to survive should be in that budget. Everything else goes.
Everything.
Everything goes. I mean, we're down
wow.
to no cell phone, no cable TV, all the frills. Maybe you're living on Top Ramen noodles. These are the kinds of drastic measures that people many times have to take if they don't have emergency savings. You know, all the financial guys say, save 6 months of your income. And that sounds great, but a lot of people don't have that.
They can't do that.
75% of Americans don't have anything beyond their next paycheck. And so what do you do when you're in that situation and you lose your job and that is your last paycheck? You've got to go into the survival mode.
Well, that is so true. Now, let me ask you economically, because you have your finger on the pulse here, how do things look in the next couple of years as an overall nation financially?
I have really deep concerns, George, about the growing amount of our national debt. I have deep concerns about the 92 million people that either are considered officially unemployed or who have stopped looking for work, the large number of people now going on disability because they can't find a job, so they come up with a disability that they can claim to be able to get income. We're seeing more and more people shut out of the workforce, and we're seeing the top people. You know, the wealthy are doing really well, but the average guy is not. And just anecdotally, so many people I know are struggling. They're just barely making enough money to live. They've got jobs where their employers dropped them back from 40 hours to 30 hours to try to beat the Obamacare deal. And they're just trying to scrape by. People with two and three part-time jobs that used to have one full-time job. It's very, very tough for people. I wish I could be more optimistic, but I'm just not seeing.
Well, you're pragmatic. That's important, too. Do you have to be religious to do this, or just spiritual? What would you call it?
Well, you know, I think religion for most people, religion is not the answer. I've never been a religious person per se. I go to a non-denominational church.
But you know, when people hear the word pray, Jim, they think of religion, and that's not the case.
Right, right. I know they do, and I'm a big believer that you don't need to go to a priest, you don't need to go to a pastor, you don't need to go to a church. You can simply sit down right where you're at, and you can offer up a prayer to God, and He will hear you. You do not need any religion, any middle person. You can pray directly to God. I believe that. I believe that my whole life, and it absolutely works. People can read my story and see that it works. It's sometimes, I'll tell you this, George, I was sharing this with someone the other day, when you're praying and you're sitting there and you're listening to God, sometimes that presence of God around you can almost be a little bit scary. And I've felt that many times in my life. Many people have never felt that because they've never taken the time to stop and pray and listen to God, to set aside 2 hours of your day to listen to God. Imagine what God will do for you.
So, you know, every once in a while when I go to Home Depot, a lot when I'm in St. Louis, I get a kick out of the retirees who are working there. They seem to have had a program, they must, where they're hiring a lot of older folks, retirees, and they're there working. And I think that's fantastic, Jim.
I think it's great, too, on the one hand, but on the other hand, it does show you the changing landscape of America. We're no longer the country where someone can put in that 30 or 40 years and then look forward to a retirement where they're totally self-sustained on a pension and Social Security. Most people going into retirement today are working at least a part-time job.
Because they have to?
Everyone I know.
Because they have to, or they just want to be kept, you know, keep going? See, I would do it. I'm going to retire here. I'm going to die here, probably. But I would, you know, if I were in their shoes, I would do it just to keep busy.
I think you're right. I think it's a good thing to keep busy, but I wish I could tell you it was just that. Most of the retirees, and I live in a retirement community here in Palm Coast, Florida, most are working because they have to. They have no option.
None. Jim, website.
They're at the website is christianmoney.com, christianmoney.com, and my book and the new DVD is up on Amazon as well.
I want to come back in a moment, and we're going to take phone calls and stories and you know, share your plight with us when you call. If you've been rock bottom like Jim Paris once was, share that with us and tell us how you got out of it. If you did get out of it, if you haven't, don't be ashamed about that at all. We're talking about his work, How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, and, of course, his website, christianmoney.com, is linked up just for you at coasttocoastam.com. I'm George Norrie. We shall be back in a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM.